This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Generation Fusion. I'm your host Andrew and...
You're joined by your mum, who's your co-host.
Yeah.
And my name's Amanda.
That doesn't really defeat the allegations of me being a mama's boy.
Not at all. Just having some slight technical issues over here, so give me... I'm all right.
You don't need headphones.
I know.
I'm the only one that needs headphones.
I know I don't need headphones, but it makes me feel the part.
If you want to do headphones, you can come over here and do the mixing.
No, I'm all right. I don't want to mix with others.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, welcome back, Andrew. It's good to have you in the studio.
I'm tired, but I'm sick of the holidays.
You're ready to go back to work, aren't you?
No, I'm ready to start something. I'm ready to get out of this horrible city we call Palmerston North.
Oh, that's mean. No, you have been on a wee break since October last year and you're
4 months.
4 months. It's far too long. That's a big break.
Yes.
So, yes, you're heading off.
I now get why at school the max is at max six.
Yes. Oh, man, it starts to get a little bit. I saw some very happy parents today because when this comes out, we've probably been back at work or school.
I will have been at university for, I think, nationals might have already happened by the time this one comes out.
And we never know. But I did see some very happy parents who are looking forward to Monday. So what are we talking about today, Andrew?
Have you done research on Friendly Geordies?
Well, I have got some information about Friendly Geordies and, it carries on with your... recent
comedic awakening. the spiritual awakening of my comedic side.
Oh, right. Is that what we're going to call it, aren't we?
Well, it's more than what you're doing.
Why? What am I doing?
Not coming to anything.
Oh, yeah. I opted out of this one. Now, do you want me to give you the reason why I opted out?
Oh, yes. I mean, like, I can guess, but...
Well, you tell me what you think it was.
He's Australian.
Nope.
He uses the C word.
No.
He's very vulgar, but not he's vulgar, but he's not a bunch of swear words vulgar. It's the topics he does vulgar.
No.
Why?
Because he's a political commentator. And I'm just not keen on I just don't get politics as being funny. I just don't get it. It's just not my comedy. And you love it, and I know your uncle likes that sort of thing.
Do you know why I find it funny?
Why?
Because I can be objective.
Yes. So
because I can laugh at both sides, including the ones I support.
Yeah. My problem is I just don't find it funny.
You just haven't seen any good political commentators.
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, I enjoyed watching Fox News.
Oh, Mum, that's not something you should say.
But that was funny. That was all about watching
that's
comedy.
Not something you should admit to.
Well, it was
enjoying
funny.
Watching Fox News.
Well, I didn't have any choice. Your father loved watching Fox News, and it was just so funny. It was hilarious. But apart from Fox News, and so I know that.
Well, you can't take Fox News seriously, Mum.
Well, that's what I mean. So, and then they would have shows on Fox News, and you'd be like, this isn't a current affairs program. This is a comedy act. So, I thought it was the one for you. So for you and your uncle.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are not sure, Friendly Geordies is a comedian called Jordan Shanks.
McCovener.
Who's a young guy. He was only born in 1989.
That was older than I thought. he's 37.
And so, yes, he's known online as Friendly Geordies.
Yes.
I couldn't work out why, because I thought Geordie as in...
The Brits.
But no, it's just because his name's
Jordan.
Yeah. So, and he's an Australian journalist, political commentator and a stand-up comedian.
And he's pretty good when he mixes the three of them together.
Yes. So you went off to see him with your uncle at...
I've been watching him since I was 12. It's not something I should probably admit to, but I've been watching him since I was 12. He's hilarious.
Well, it's interesting.
His house got firebombed.
He often discusses contemporary Australian cultural and political issues.
One thing he pointed out in his set is you can draw a lot of parallels between Australian politics and New Zealand politics.
Well, they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like their national party is almost the exact same as our national party.
I know.
Even with the same bold guy.
Yeah. And he describes himself as lowbrow humour.
Yeah.
Although, actually, his YouTube channel was created in 2013.
Do you know how he got started?
How did he get started?
Well, I'm not, this is...
This is your understanding.
He is a self-defined wog. And because...
Is he Italian? Is that...
Wog just means a person who immigrated to, wherever, from the southern part of Europe.
It's okay.
Italian, Greek, Armenian.
Ah, yes.
Not like, yeah. Yep. And he got started doing comedy skits on YouTube based on that, like a Turkish guy from his high school.
Yep.
And it was very insensitive, as you can imagine. If you've heard other comedians from that area.
Yes. I can understand that, yes.
Yeah. So, yes.
Yeah. So, I was just having an interesting look at a little bit of his background.
Don't know how he blew up.
How did he blow up?
Almost literally, by the way. So, he started being a journalist, I guess. About 5 years ago, he investigated New South Wales Premier and Deputy Premier for being corrupt.
That would be John Barilaro.
Barilaro.
Yep.
And Gladys Berejiklian.
And Jordan accused him of corruption and environmental vandalism.
And he did my favourite part of this type of journalism. He made fun of them and put on a really offensive wog accent.
Yeah.
And that pissed them off.
So his house was firebombed.
His house was firebombed
in August 2022.
Yes,
and the police alleged that the attack was in retaliation for a video that Jordan made linking the crime family to the Coronation Property Group, and this was removed. Actually, I was quite surprised because it was 2024. It was removed after he started receiving death threats. So even it was.
Are you still dealing with it?
Still dealing with it, yeah. It's quite an interesting thing.
And he did this thing where one of the expose videos, he made multiple on John Barilaro. One of them was done in John Barilaro's mansion because it was on Airbnb.
Oh.
So you can imagine that Friendly Geordies wore nothing but underwear and a robe while doing that whole video, sitting in John Barilaro's house exposing him.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah. I can understand that. Interestingly enough, do you know what he did before he became a YouTuber?
What?
He was a model.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
A model appearing in magazines and advertisements throughout Australia and Southeast Asia.
It's not surprising.
And he's of Croatian descent. So... Oh, yeah, that's pretty. yes, he's a supporter of the Labor Party.
That is very
critical of Liberal and National.
It's very obvious when you look at his stuff,
which makes sense that he's made paid videos for the Australian Council of Trade Unions. That's very Labor orientated. Get Up and Greenpeace, and he's promoted their causes.
And you see, the thing is, he doesn't come off as a Labor shill, which, I mean, is good, but also can be dangerous because if you don't pick up on the fact that he doesn't deny it. In fact, he says that he does support Labor.
Yes.
But if you don't notice that, which is not hard to do, then you could see yourself getting sucked in to and being radicalized.
Yep.
Even though that's not what he does. But I'm just saying it's possible.
He's,
watching any news outlet like Fox News, it's very easy to be radicalised by
it
them.
It is. He certainly hasn't held back on his
Opinions.
Opinions. And I mean, he's released.
That's the thing. I'm pretty sure they start off as opinions, but then he finds evidence to back them, which is like any English essay at high school.
Yes, because he's a journalist, so he's got Actually, what did he do? I don't think it says. Wait a minute. He graduated from Newtown High School of Performing Arts and later obtained a Bachelor of International Studies, specialising in globalisation and studies at the University of New South Wales. So, it's not surprising. He's certainly been busy. I mean, he has had multiple videos for the New South Wales Premier, Gladys
Berejiklian.
Yes, but he did actually manage to do some good with that and raise $300,000 for the bushfire relief from his stand-up shows and the release of his sales of koala killer T-shirts.
Yes, yeah. So, that's because she ran over a koala.
But she also...
No, it wasn't.
No, she was one of the main people responsible for increasing the risk of bushfires and the destruction of the koala population. So he did that, and then in 2019 he covered the businessman Clive Palmer, who was going for the Australian federal elections, 2020 to 2022, John Ballararo. He certainly went to town on...
No, he did.
He's had a lovely time working with that. Even his producer, Christo Lankur, has been arrested by officers from the Fixated Persons Unit.
And that's why I say he does this exposing corruption.
Yeah.
Is because even though that is what his videos are targeted towards, his producer got arrested for videos that they made in Australia.
And they also got him for stalking.
Which he didn't do.
Well,
Then that means I'm going to get arrested for going on LinkedIn.
No, he'd actually, Lanka was charged with two accounts of stalking and intimidating Ballararo after he approached him at the National Party events for Shark and another occasion when he approached him heading to his university. So, that's certainly controversial journalism style. I mean,
As Friendly Geordie has also pointed out, you can tell he's made it because his house got firebombed.
Yes, and he's also had to apologise to Mr. Ballararo and pay $100,000 in legal costs.
That's what I like about him, though, is I don't agree with everything he says, but I agree with how he just goes out and says it, what he believes.
And he also had, and I mean, fair enough, because he also agreed and he went and edited some of the contested videos and he agreed to stop selling merchandise that is featuring Ballarat after his retirement from politics. So he is a bit controversial, but when he does seem to
the topic of this episode, he came to New Zealand. Yes, specifically, he came to Palmerston North.
Yes, so you got to go and see this very large in life political
satirist.
Satirist.
Well, I mean, there's two different types. He's not exactly spitting image satire, but he, doing offensive mockery accents of the deputy premier of New South Wales.
No bars held.
No.
So he's been an independent journalist.
Yeah.
So he certainly had he certainly packed plenty into his 37 years of.
he gives journalists a bad name, but when people find journalists annoying, but.
Yes.
But depends what side of the table you sit on.
And I know that you actually thoroughly enjoyed going and listening to him.
I did.
And I'm from what I've worked out, your uncle enjoyed going along and listening to. I know your uncle didn't agree with everything he said, but again, like a lot of comedians, you don't have to agree with them. A lot of them are there to get a reaction.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be comedians if they didn't get a reaction. And some of them make you a little uncomfortable and make you think about, and that's the point. It's meant to make you think. You don't have to, as you say, agree with them. But if it makes you stop and think, well, then it's sort of kind of done its job.
One thing, so this his tour he's doing is called Alien Hunter. And the funny thing is, it's like laid out as one of his videos. At face value, it looks like a stand-up set.
Yeah.
But then he presents evidence on why aliens actually exist and that the governments actually know about it.
Yeah.
Like the fact that when asked, because after a certain amount of time, the US government has to release classified files. It's 50 years. When they asked for the Roswell files and other alien files, those were the only files that the US government ever destroyed. And also the fact that there are many corroborating accounts.
Mm.
And that the governments, including the French government, have come out and said, yeah, they're real.
Yeah.
Because we can't explain what they were.
Well, you know, aliens are just people or things that are not from that place.
Yeah.
So
it's such a basic answer, Mum.
It is, but it's also UFO as an unidentified flying object. You know, do we have to have explanations for everything? No. Can there be some things that we can't explain? Yeah.
And at the start of the show, he said to the audience, do you think aliens have come here? Well, no, he said, do you think aliens have been here? And I said, not here. He was like, what, Palmy? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, so he does heckles as well. But he makes it part of the show.
Oh, yeah. So
because he leads the audience to what heckles he wants.
Well, and that is the true art of a comedian, is that it's in a way a kind of like a school teacher when you're asking the kids to brainstorm all their favourite things and because you want them to connect and enjoy an interest, but you actually manage them to come around to agreeing to doing what you had planned anyway.
Yeah.
And yet not once did you actually tell them what you wanted. It's just by giving those prompts that lead them the way you want them to go.
Because the thing is, it was an hour show and people kept heckling, but he got to the end of it. Meaning that he built that in.
Yes. So he didn't go any longer and it didn't throw him off or anything. That was the whole part of the show.
Yeah.
Which I think would be the bit I find really hard about stand-up comedy is that I can think on my feet and I was very good at debating. But keeping to the time, I'd find that really hard because I always go over time.
Yes. Oh, don't worry. We're not going overtime. Keep talking.
No, but what I would be like, I suppose because they do it all the time and it's their job, they get a feel. And as you said, he built it into his act. It's not that it was anything extra, even though he didn't know these people and he didn't. It was he would have had, a skeleton plan for his act and probably without deliberately, I mean, if we went to every one of his, they would probably be very similar.
Seven, yeah.
So there's that element that I think.
One thing that I think all comedians I've kind of seen come to Palmerston North have pointed out, but he really pointed out, is that we don't notice it. But even compared to Wellington, Palmerston North is very country. It's very hick.
Oh, of course. And we're called a city. Because we have got the population size to get us to a city. But when you compare a city of New Zealand somewhere else, we're just a town.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the beauty of New Zealand, actually, I think, in a lot of cases, that we are just. And I'd hate to be – I think that's why I like living here in Palmerston North, because it doesn't feel like living in a city.
Well, you see, I've never lived in a city, so well, I'm about to find out.
You're about to find out. And even that city isn't the biggest city.
No.
But it is certainly an exciting city.
Just wait till you live in Tokyo, the biggest city on earth.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But so we had a conversation when we were talking about the comedians, and I think you said one of the things you enjoyed about Jordan was that he was a bit of a storyteller.
Yes.
So you've had two stand-up comedians that you've listened to recently, one who just does lots of one-off jokes.
Yeah.
And the other one who's a storyteller. And I think you and I are very similar, although I'm not I'm his content isn't what I'm interested in. I prefer a comedian who does storytelling.
Well, you see, he's on the furthest part of a different scale to Jimmy Carr. Jimmy Carr, quick, short, you know,
yes,
setups. This show was basically one long story,
yes,
with a series of smaller jokes in it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, a lot of comedians that tell stories, the story is the lead up to the joke.
Yes.
Whereas in this case, the jokes were part of telling the story.
And I, my other question too is because we went and saw Ursula, who, I mean, we enjoyed it. It was a good experience to go to, but we also found it a little bit uncomfortable at times because she would go just a little bit too far. And Jordan, was he like that, or was he his content, because he is a little risque. He can be a little a blokey. Yeah. Inappropriate,
yeah,
you know, which a lot of the comedians are. But we're with Ursula. We found that we started to feel you just felt, it was like, oh, you just took that a little bit too far. Did you feel that with him?
Only once, but that's probably because I went in knowing what he's like.
Yeah.
The only time I went on was when I got uncomfortable. It was like he said, "Oh, and you can have this picture of my ass," and it was a photo of a donkey.
Oh.
And then it switched to a photo of his ass with makeup and a blonde wig on. Oh.
But I guess too, because we can compare Ursula to Jimmy Carr, and Jimmy Carr too could really, he can be highly inappropriate, pushes the bucket. But I never felt uncomfortable.
Jimmy Carr doesn't continue. He tells a joke and moves on.
He does. He drops a bomb and then he basically leaves it there and it doesn't push it any further.
Yeah.
He's had the impact and he leaves.
He lets the bomb go off about a day later when you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
And keep thinking of more punchlines he could have had.
Or he drops the bomb but he doesn't come in to do any more work with it. He leaves to go and drop another bomb somewhere else.
I think he also knows that his act is what you're thinking. Like with a lot of the jokes he said, over the next week I was thinking, oh, could have had this punchline to the joke as well.
Yes.
Or that you could have gone this way instead of done this. So I think, and I get a lot of laughs thinking of punchlines to jokes like that.
Yeah, so, and I suppose it was, there was the that moment where they leave a lot to your own, you go, oh, that was inappropriate.
Like
even
near the end
though
of
they don't necessarily say, they could make it worse by carrying on, but they don't because they don't need to.
Like near the end of the show, Jimmy Carr didn't even give punchlines. Yeah. It was just the lead up to the joke and you worked out the rest.
That's right. But once it's done, he then moves on to the next thing.
Yeah.
He doesn't go back and make sure that you really understand what it was he was implying. Whereas I think Ursula very much pushed us, really made sure that we understood what she was.
She really wanted to make us uncomfortable.
Yes, so
which is probably what she is about. It was probably
her style.
Whereas Friendly Geordies isn't meant to make you uncomfortable. He's just going to do something that's funny. The only reason it was uncomfortable is because there's a picture of his ass.
Yeah. So yeah, no, it's just really interesting when you think about, because those three are all stand up comedians. We talked about and we compared David Straussman, who again was another stand up comedian, but he doesn't feel like those three because it feels like he had another person, and he wasn't stand up because he had another comedian with him, excepting it was just himself.
Yeah.
So he was like a dual. He never felt like a solo stand up comedian.
Yeah.
Comedian.
A chameleon. No, chameleon. Yes. A stand-up chameleon.
Yeah, changes it. Leopard never changes.
Is that like a karma chameleon?
Yeah, karma chameleon.
Yeah. Well, if you enjoyed this episode.
Is that the end?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man.
This is our riskiest episode of 2026. Stay tuned next year for when I use another word that may have once been considered rude.
Oh, I'll be intrigued. I'll be hanging around for that one.
I don't
one.
Know. I mean,
we'll see what we can pass.
50 years ago, the word wog was rude, but they've kind of...
Well, I think it's the context. You're not calling somebody...
I'm not using it as an insult.
No, you're just explaining something.
I'm not using it as to refer to. Well, yes, I am. I'm for the context of it, but I'm not using it as an insult to someone from the south of Europe.
Yes, that's right.
It's more. It's become more of a genre of comedy.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, I suppose so.
There's this channel that both Uncle and I like watching. It's called Super Wog. And they make jokes about those immigrant families,
which their experience. Which is what they're from. That's their ethnic group.
Like the crazy dad that can barely speak English. You
know? That's right.
Which, I mean, we've had experience with Papu.
Yeah.
He got a bit crazy and he couldn't speak English.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, you can go listen to other episodes at npr.nz/show/fusion, or you can go to Spotify and search up Generation Fusion. If you'd like to get some behind-the-scenes content, you can go to facebook.com and search up Generation Fusion, or you can go to Instagram and search up Generation Fusion. Also, if you'd like to help us continue to make content and continue to make better content, you can go to givealittle.co.nz/org/npr and donate as little or as much as you feel like. I was reading the wrong one because I got distracted by the sound that mum's text made.
Oh, have you tried to blame me for everything?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
So. Hey, that's true.
Well, anyway, if you enjoyed this episode, you can go do all that, and we'll see you all next week. Bye.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.